Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, everybody. Carl Walsh here, Saving Seniors. And I had an interesting meeting the other day, and I'd like to include you in my long list of Saving Senior viewers or listeners. And so there I was at the South Bay Estate Planning Council, and I like to think of myself in general as, you know, as a reverse mortgage guy to keep seniors in their home. And that's sort of the pithy headline of it. It's a lot more detailed with that. And we, you know, as you know, we work with financial planners and intricately devise ways with reverse mortgages so that the money doesn't run out, essentially. But there I was, South Bay Estate Planning Council, and this gentleman stood up named Drew Davis and said he keeps seniors in their home. And I thought, wait a minute, that's what I do. Who is this man? Who is this masked man? And so Drew Davis actually is the founder and president of Davis In-Home Care of Redondo Beach. And he provides in-home caregivers for residents throughout the South Bay and Los Angeles, too. And funny thing is, Drew first learned about in-home care by helping his mother care for his stepfather. And as the stepfather's dementia progressed, they tried many different care options to meet his needs. You know, dementia is a terrible thing for a family to endure. But Drew was so impressed with one option that was in-home care that he later opened his own company. And now he's in his 14th year, and it's called Davis In-Home Care. And he's helped clients as old as 104 years old stay safe and comfortable in their home. And Drew is a local South Bay guy. He's lived most of his life in the South Bay, and he has a BA from Loyola Marymount University and an MBA from USC, or University of Southern California. So I'd like to welcome to our show today Drew Davis. Welcome, Drew.
Thank you, Carl, very, very much. Thank you.
No, it's a great to have you here, because I know with that introduction, people are probably very curious. Because as seniors, you know, I know it's top of mind for me, because I've heard stories. I have a dear friend who just went back to Florida to her mother's funeral. But up to that point, there was, you know, in-home care needed, and then eventually she did go to a facility. But, you know, that slow landing of the plane, as I call it, you know, can make people's heads spin. So maybe you could explain, what is in-home care? Give us a little introduction.
So there's basically sort of two types of care that we provide for people. One of them is called homemaker services, and that's things like cooking a meal or doing the laundry or changing the bed linens, and it can also include driving people, you know, for appointments or errands. And the second type is helping people with personal care. And these are daily self-care activities that we all do. Probably you did them in the first hour when you got up today. Things like taking a shower, getting dressed, grooming, eating, going to the bathroom. And these are called activities of daily living. So the personal care, helping people with activities of daily living, and homemaker services, that really describes the scope of care that we do, and all of that is considered non-medical, but these things are very important to people if they have trouble doing them.
And you mentioned some of these things might be required every day, some are just you know, once a week or a couple times a week, how often would somebody, I mean, can you give us different examples of it maybe?
Sure, and that's a great question, because a lot of people often think that if they start in home care, it has to be a lot. It's sort of an all or nothing mindset, and that is absolutely not the case. So we have a minimum of 4 hours a visit and 2 visits a week. Most agencies have some kind of a minimum, but, you know, whether that's an issue for you or not will depend on what your needs are, but it can be as little as 8 hours a week. So, as you said, it definitely can be intermittent help rather than constant help.
You know, I may be just a little bit of a worrywart, but I constantly think about this myself, not this, all aspects of being a senior and, you know, getting older, anywhere from financial to home care, just the thing, you know, we can, I know of seniors who were fit as a fiddle and didn't need any assistance whatsoever, and then all of a sudden they drop dead one day. You know, I don't mean to be that blunt, but, and others that it's, you know, slowly there's this need for extra help and it escalates over time, you know, the need and so forth.
Right.
So, maybe, you know, who is this for specifically in terms of what type of seniors do you see out there?
Well, you know, you made a point at the very beginning of the program, which I thought was interesting. Both of our goals is to keep people in their home, because that's where people want to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a sort of a common term for that, which is aging in place. But, you know, the vast majority of people want to be in their home. And that's really, in, you know, the one sentence purpose of what we do. In terms of the frequency of it, it really depends on what the need of the person is. So there's two sort of general categories of people who call us. One is people who say, I'm having a hip replacement in 2 weeks, or I'm going in for surgery, you know, in a couple of weeks, and I think I'm going to need 2 or 3 weeks of help when I get out. So we, you know, we do an assessment with them, and we figure out all the things we can do to help them, and so we help them for that fairly short period of time. The other type of client we have is people who have ongoing needs. And with them, with the medical people, the need starts out greater, and they decrease the level of care as they improve. With most clients who have ongoing care, it's the reverse pattern. So they usually start out with a little and then increase it as their needs increase. So it can either be short-term or long-term. And it can be a lot of hours or just a few hours a week. It really depends on the needs of the person and what they're coming to us, you know, the reason for coming to us.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because in the beginning when you started, you say, you know, doesn't have to be forever and so on and so forth. I'm thinking, wait a minute, once this starts, does somebody cancel it? But no, you're referring to medical issues where there's temporary needs that need to be taken care of, where somebody needs assistance and so on.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's so funny, I don't recall a hip replacement in my parents' generation ever. They weren't maybe doing them then, and now it seems like every person I know is getting some sort of joint replaced.
Well, and Carl, I think that's a reflection of the fact that people really are living longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really been kind of a amazing surprise to me. I opened my business in 2010, and when I started in business, my oldest clients were 92 or 93. Now, as you mentioned earlier, we're in our 14th year of business, and now my oldest clients are 100, and I'm taking some flowers to a woman today who's going to celebrate her 104th birthday.
Wow.
So I think this is because people are living longer, things are wearing out, to put it sort of bluntly.
That's true.
And so people are having hip replacements and knee replacements because they're living longer, and that's the wonderful part of that.
And, you know, at first when I started thinking about this, people living longer, I was thinking, that's odd, because we've had more obesity now than ever, and I can't, why are these people living longer? But in fact, it's, you know, some people are watching their health way more than they ever did, but others, it's medical intervention. You know, people are getting bypasses and stents that would have put them down early on. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. And then I wonder if some people are just more athletic, because I've known some people in their 60s getting shoulder replacements, and this is people who used to lift a lot of weights and so forth. And my brother-in-law had a knee replacement, but he's 80. There's an example. But I think that's his first medical intervention. He just anyway, so it's interesting. Now, is there a difference between, let's say, in-home care and home health care? I mean, what's the distinction in those two areas?
There is, and that's actually, I'm glad you asked that, because a lot of people confuse the two. And home health care is medical care. We are non-medical, so I talked about the homemaker services and the personal care. That's all considered non-medical. Home health care is medical, because it's prescribed by a doctor, it's paid for by the insurance, the health insurance. It's typically provided by nurses or therapists, like a physical therapist or an occupational therapist, and sometimes social workers. These visits are typically, you know, 15 minutes to an hour. They are for a set period of time, you know, 90 days, whatever. And then the doctor can renew the prescription, but they are prescribed for a set period of time for a specific purpose, and they're carried out by these nurses and therapists. And again, that's all medical versus what we do, which is considered non-medical.
And did you ever toy with the idea of doing something on the medical side, you know, getting nurses involved and so forth?
I have thought about that. We have been so busy with the non-medical stuff that I haven't done it yet, but some agencies do combine that. And, you know, the thing is that the services are actually very complementary, because, as you can imagine, many people who need some periodic visits at home from a nurse might also need help with cooking a meal or driving or, you know, bathing and some other things. So we often work side by side with the home health companies, but the scope of what we do is very different. And the other thing is the home health company isn't going to cook your meal or do your laundry. So, we often work side by side, but sort of in different spheres.
Yeah, and I imagine sometimes you go in and they should have called you a long time ago, because I could see some stubborn old buzzards, maybe someone like me, who's a cheapskate, who, you know, only until the urging of their kids said, look, you need someone coming in because we can't come over all the time. What are some of the warning signs that someone needs in-home care? I mean, what sort of things do you see when you come in and go, whoa, you should have called us earlier?
Well, you know, if people need help with any of the things that I talked about earlier, the homemaker services or the personal care, that is one sign that is very clear. For example, if people are no longer able to take a shower on their own for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that being able to stay in your home requires more than, you know, doing personal care and homemaker services. It also requires what's called sometimes instrumental activities of daily living, which is things like cleaning your home and maintaining mm-hmm. your home and paying the bills and planning meals and, navigating in the community. So when people have trouble doing those things, that's another sign. If people are not able to take their medication, or they're getting them mixed up. Mm-hmm. You know, that's often a sign of cognitive impairment. And that, of course, is a common reason why people call in, you know, caregivers to give them some help. Driving is, of course, a big issue if someone has a car accident, or if you see some dings or nicks on the car that you haven't seen, you know, the last time you saw them. That can be an indication that they're having some scrapes when they get behind the wheel. And I'm sorry to say that my mother and father and stepfather all had accidents before they hung up the keys.
Mm.
And it doesn't need to be that way. And people really should be proactive if they see mom or dad having trouble behind the wheel. And then another thing, another reason to call for help is one that people often overlook. And that is if the primary caregiver needs help. You know, typically, you know, couples want to care for each other, but if you have a wife caring for a husband, he's going to typically be taller and heavier. And sometimes the spouse can develop her own problems from trying to care for her husband.
Mm.
So, you know, if someone sees any of these changes, it's a sign to, you know, maybe look into getting some in-home care.
You know, it's so interesting. As, you know, I've gotten older, I've seen examples of it. My elderly brother, you know, I have four brothers and sisters, and he's 16 years older than me. Actually, he passed away from dementia, but the dementia was progressing. You know, first, dementia just doesn't happen overnight. It needs to be, it manifests into little forgetful things and so on and so forth. I mean, sometimes the police had to bring him home. He would drive off somewhere, and her reluctance to take the keys away from him, she was just it's not for me to psychologically diagnose it, because she's the greatest person I've ever met in my life, but whether she was fearful or didn't want him to feel like he was losing it, I don't know what, but, you know, it goes on way longer than it should have. And you know, there are dings, and there's, you know, he's not coming home and not answering his phone, and we call the police, and finally the police bring him home. So, yeah, I've seen real-life stories like that. I remember driving my uncle, I visited him in Florida, and he's, you know, clear as clear can be. He was in his late 80s, as I recall, and he just drove through a stop sign. Yikes. So here's a guy, extremely bright, still running a company, but I had to say, you know, uncle, you just drove through that stop sign. What? I did? So, you know, oh my gosh. It's tough taking keys away from people, whether they won't release them or people are fearful. Anyway, I'm glad you brought up those points. Because it brings up my next question. You know, what are the consequences if someone needs help and doesn't get it? You know, I guess there's accidents. You mentioned your parents had two accidents.
My stepfather, my father and my mother all had car accidents before they hung up the keys.
Mm.
And, you know, obviously anyone would feel terrible if they injured another person, much less the hassle and headaches of, you know, dealing with an accident.
Mm.
But, and I know it's difficult. I dealt with this in my own family, but I think family members really do have to be proactive on this, because the risk of not taking action can be so serious, both for your loved one as well as for others. So car accidents are definitely one of the consequences of not taking action. I saw, you know, in my own family, my stepfather, my mother called me to come over one night because he couldn't walk. He was confused.
Mm-hmm.
He had heart palpitations. His blood pressure had dropped, and we were really quite worried about him. And so we took him to the ER and discovered all of this was caused by dehydration.
Wow.
And, you know, dehydration in younger people is not so serious, but in older people it can be very serious. So, you know, that was a sign that, he needed more monitoring and assistance. And so that, you know, that's a physical symptom you can deal with if people are not getting, that can result from not getting enough liquid. You know, you can see if the home falls into disrepair, mm-hmm. or if they have medical problems that develop, perhaps because they're not taking their medications properly. And then falls, that's probably one of the biggest ones, and that's actually one of the biggest reasons for admittance to the hospital for people over 65 is falls. So if you have a family member or a friend who is falling, that is a clear indication that some help is needed. So, then again, I want to mention the primary caregiver, because what happened in my own family was that my mother developed her own physical ailments from trying to help my stepfather with his.
Mm.
So if you see burnout or injuries with the primary caregiver, that, of course, is another reason to look for some help.
Yeah, oh my gosh. There's so many new ideas, so many questions that I have when you're bringing this up, because I myself, when I was a young, fit male, I was taking care of my mother, and, you know, she was 5'11", and, you know, fairly fit, but still, it's a big human being, you know, you have to help into the bathroom and so forth and so on. So imagine if you're, and I was fit enough and strong enough to handle it, but if the roles are reversed, that's not good. So would you be kind enough to stay on for our next segment or two? Because I have so many questions.
Sure.
This is great. We're going to break right now. Here we are at Saving Seniors, and I'm here with Drew Davis, from Davis Home Care, and we're really getting into the home care topic and how his firm can help seniors. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you're 62 or older, you can access the equity in your home without a mortgage payment. An FHA reverse mortgage is risk-free because it is fully insured by HUD. So, if you need money for living or medical expenses, emergencies, home improvement, or even travel, consider an FHA reverse mortgage. It even comes with a line of credit that gives you interest on the portion you don't use. Call Carl Walsh now to see what your options are to put cash back in your pocket. Call 310-612-0124. That's 310-612-0124.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,001. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
A proprietary reverse mortgage is for those of us who are 55 and older who have equity in our homes that we would like to use now rather than later. Need cash? Instead of getting a higher interest rate by refinancing your current mortgage, find out how a proprietary reverse mortgage can act as your separate line of credit with no payments. That's right, no payments. And you can even get a lump sum of money up to $4 million depending on your home's equity. To find out more, call Carl now at 310-612-0124. 310-612-0124.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Hello, everybody. Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors with Drew Davis. And we were just in a very engaging topic of how can you detect if a senior needs home care. And, you know, anywhere from stubbornness to the unsureness, the uncertainty of the partner. And one of the things we talked about was, you know, the partner themselves becomes, you know, overwhelmed with the physicality of it. Right, Drew? That just they can, you know, you have to help somebody. And if it's a wife who's diminutive relative to their husband who needs the home care, it can just take a toll physically as well as mentally on you.
Absolutely. That's a common scenario.
Yep. And so you talked about is there anything we missed on that last? You know, we see, of course, accidents that can happen with driving, forgetfulness. I remember somebody saying, it's not that we forget where we put our keys, but when you find your keys, you're not sure what to do with them, then that. And the person, I think I saw it on, you know, PBS or something, they were only half kidding.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real thing. Then you know there's some medical issues that need to be taken care of. What about psychologically, too? Because I have a friend of mine who openly admits he's a hoarder. And I imagine that might build up where somebody might not be instantaneously a hoarder, but over time, you know, their life has just gotten out of control. What are your thoughts about that? Do you run into that? Or are you strictly sticking with seniors?
You know, I do run into that. And I mentioned earlier that one of the amazing things about my time in the business is the longer I'm in the business, the older clients are getting. The other thing that I'm seeing is that hoarding is more and more common. And, of course, there are different levels or degrees of this. But it does seem like a lot more people are hanging on to a lot more stuff and filling up their houses with it. So I have definitely seen incidents of that.
That is so interesting. Why do you think that is? Has anybody sort of pushed that idea around? And
I don't know. That's the short answer. My hunch is that when people feel like they're losing control of some things in their lives, for example, physical capabilities or mental or cognitive abilities, that they want to hang on to things that they can control. And although it seems like an odd connection, I wonder if hanging on to these items gives them some feeling of control, which helps compensate for the other problems.
I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, that makes sense. Did I cut you off? Were you saying something else?
No, that's my armchair psychologist theory. So for whatever it's worth, that's my hunch.
No, that strikes me as makes perfect sense, because if you have familiar items around you, it, you know, doesn't make you. I mean, I'm more and more like my routine, and routine is sort of similar to that in a way.
Yep.
And that way I don't lose anything either, is when I have my routine. So if someone needs in-home care, how do they get it? I mean, how does this work? How does somebody make a decision process on this?
Well, so there are, well, that's kind of, in a way, that's two questions. How do they know if they need it? Well, we talked earlier about some of the warning signs, like poor nutrition or not taking medications or cognitive impairment. If they've decided they want to look into it, maybe they're not even sure they need it, but they want to look into it. There are three options for providers. One of them is one that we see so much we may not even think of it as an option, and that's family caregivers. We talked about wives caring for husbands. Of course, we have sons and daughters who are caring for their folks. many times, as well as caring for their own children. But family caregivers is one option. Outside of that, sometimes people will hire a friend or, you know, a neighbor or somebody they've heard about or their cleaning lady, so they hire a private caregiver. And then the third option is hiring an agency like mine. And I would say that there are pros and cons of each of those. So I would advise people to look at the, you know, advantages and disadvantages of each of those, and then decide for themselves what they think is right for them.
Could you delve into that a little bit? In other words, I'm sure people bring up these various options in front of you, and sometimes you're a fit, sometimes you aren't. Could you explain why someone would do one over the other?
Sure. Well, why don't I start? I'll start with family caregivers, because that's one we're all familiar with, and it's very common. You know, some of the benefits of that is it's complete flexibility in regards to scheduling and duties. You know, you can make it whenever and whatever you want, because it's just you and the family member involved in this. It's typically somebody you already know. And there can be personal satisfaction for the caregiver in helping a family member. The other thing is that cost is typically an advantage of this, because usually, you know, family members are not paid for this. And I can get into exceptions to that later, but typically that's the case. So what are the disadvantages of this? Well, there actually are a number of disadvantages. Caregiving, while people may want to help, it can also be a source of friction. So you could develop new frictions between family members that wouldn't happen or be there if it weren't for the caregiving scenario. There's also the question of care expertise. Just because you know someone or they're a family member doesn't mean they have the skills or the knowledge to provide the care that you need. And then there's this situation where you, particularly when it's siblings caring for mom and dad, there's the issue of unequal burden. And, you know, if you have several siblings, as you did, there may be a situation where one feels like he or she is doing more than the others, and this can be a source of resentment and family friction. And then pay can even become an issue. I remember we had a client who was very happy with our caregiver. But when his daughter-in-law became unemployed, she said to him, well, why do you pay Davis? Why don't you have me be your caregiver? So, you know, everyone thought that was great. So they thanked us for our service, and our service ended. And then I heard later through a friend who knew this family that there was a huge argument over how much to pay her. Because she wasn't a professional caregiver, but she wanted to be compensated as if she was one. So even though I said initially pay is not usually an issue, it actually can become another source of friction.
And I want to stop you right there, because we're going to go into a break. But we could – I also – when my brain's engaged and not my bad part, I know you get what you pay for. So typically in life, you know, so you pay more for an agency, but these are professionals. And also there's accountability. You can say, hey, Drew, I hired the person to come in at such and such a time. And in other words, but when someone's doing a favor, let's say it's a free family member, you know, you're just grateful they're coming at all. And they, anyway, that could be it. So we're going to break real briefly. If you would, can you stay with us again?
Absolutely, sure.
Yeah, I want to keep going. These are really rich topics. So, Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors, with Drew Davis of Davis In-Home Care. We'll be right back.
The
A proprietary reverse mortgage is for those of us who are 55 and older who have equity in our homes that we would like to use now rather than later. Need cash? Instead of getting a higher interest rate by refinancing your current mortgage, find out how a proprietary reverse mortgage can act as your separate line of credit with no payments. That's right, no payments. And you can even get a lump sum of money up to $4 million depending on your home's equity. To find out more, call Carl now at 310-612-0124. 310-612-0124.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're 62 or older, you can access the equity in your home without a mortgage payment. An FHA reverse mortgage is risk-free because it is fully insured by HUD. So, if you need money for living or medical expenses, emergencies, home improvement, or even travel, consider an FHA reverse mortgage. It even comes with a line of credit that gives you interest on the portion you don't use. Call Carl Walsh now to see what your options are to put cash back in your pocket. Call 310-612-0124. That's 310-612-0124.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everyone. Again, it's Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors, with Drew Davis of Davis In-Home Care. And we've been having a gripping discussion in my mind about the decisions that people have to make with in-home care. And one topic that we're thinking about was there's private agencies, and there's private, and then there's agencies. Could you explain that to me? I'm not really familiar with that, Drew.
Sure. So I started out by saying there's three sort of sources of caregivers. One can be family. The second is to hire a private caregiver. And then the third one is to hire an agency. So I look at each of these in terms of the pros and cons. And the pros and cons to a private caregiver are very similar to a family caregiver in that you have flexibility versus as far as duties and schedules. And the cost is typically going to be less because you're only paying for an individual, not for the expenses that a company incurs. However, there are a lot of disadvantages to a private caregiver. And the basic idea is that you are the employer when you pay someone to provide care for you. That's not the case if there's no money exchange, say, between family members. But if you pay someone in the state of California to provide care for you, you are legally their employer. And interviewing and background checks, training, liability, insurance, payroll, taxes, all of these employer responsibilities that I have, plus a lot more, are you take those on. And the change in this happened several years ago with the Domestic Workers Bill of Rights. And that bill in California did two main things. It extended labor law regulations covering other workers to caregivers. And the second thing it did is it clearly defined who is an employer of a caregiver. And what it said is anyone who pays a caregiver outside the family, they exercise control over the wages, hours, and working conditions of a caregiver, they are an employer. And just like me, they have to follow minimum pay requirements, overtime rules, meal breaks, rest breaks, sick pay requirements. They've got all the responsibilities I do.
So even if does the amount of hours that they you know come over matter, or the days, or does any of that matter Is there a minimum or maximum?
There is no minimum or maximum in terms of the service period, but, you know, you are supposed to give someone a 10-minute rest break if they work 4 hours or more, for example. If you don't do that, you can be fined 1 hour of pay, and, of course, that has to be at a minimum of minimum wage for each period where you don't do that. So the problem with the private hire is that you are assuming a lot of responsibility and liability. So the flip side of that is if you hire an agency, then the pros and cons are flipped. So all of those employer responsibilities of insurance and interviewing and training and payroll taxes, all of that is handled by the agency. The disadvantages are that the agency will have some rules about duties and schedules, and the cost will almost certainly be more than if you hired a private caregiver. Now, whether the rules about duties and schedules is a problem for you, that's an individual case, and in most cases it isn't. And to my mind, because I am a company owner and I know how complicated the labor regulations are in California, I would much rather pay someone else to handle this than try and do it myself. But again, those are the pros and cons of each.
So they could use a family member just isn't able to get over there, maybe only on a weekend or something. So they can use you during the week. And then, you know, a granddaughter, anybody, member of the family can come over on a Saturday or a Sunday and, you know, do some home care that way in a minimal sense. So you can sort of make a hybrid in that way.
Absolutely. And this goes back to what I said earlier, which is, you know, it doesn't have to be a lot. It can be a little. And if you just want someone on the weekends or you just want someone a few afternoons a week, for whatever reason, maybe family members are doing it the rest of the time, that's a common scenario that we help out with, that's fine. We're not trying to displace anybody. We just want to provide someone to help so that the family doesn't have to do it all themselves.
Yeah, that I think you're just, I mean, without you, I don't know what people would do, frankly, in a lot of situations. In other words, the family tries it themselves, and it's very, you know, it's hard work, and it requires knowledge. And so there you are sitting on the sidelines saying, I'm here if you need me. And lo and behold, you know, there you are. And you can jump in, and I think they could learn a lot from just watching how you operate.
Well, that is often the case, that we can help family members be better caregivers. The other thing about hiring an agency is when the agency care is done, you know that your liability and obligations are over. So, you know, what can happen if you hire a private caregiver, and I actually learned about this from an accountant. What if that caregiver goes down and files for unemployment after she leaves working for you? And I heard from an accountant that a family owed a caregiver who they liked very much $20,000 in back taxes and penalties when she because she filed for unemployment.
I wonder if that's true just for normal housekeeping. You have a housekeeper come every other week, let's say. I don't know.
Is the short answer. But I do know that when you have someone in your home on a regular basis doing caregiving, as I said, the state has defined that, and you can't say, oh, they're a 1099. You can't sign an agreement saying X, Y. You can do whatever you want, but it isn't legally valid, and it won't protect you.
Yeah, I don't want. I understand the state of California is the most rigorous with all sorts of things, taxes and regulations and so forth. I prefer not to have them on my back. So, you know.
Well, being an owner of a care agency, I would much rather pay someone else to deal with all that than try and do it myself. And here's another true story I can relate. We took over care for a family where Dad had hired a private caregiver to do live-in care for several years. And when the son got involved, he realized he did not like the caregiver, and he fired her.
Mm-hmm.
And so the son hired our company to come and take her place and care for Dad. And several months later, he got hit with a lawsuit of $840,000.
Wow.
In back taxes and penalties. Of course, this caregiver was unhappy because she was fired,
mm-hmm.
and she found an attorney to file a case. And I can tell you, all you have to do is drive around L.A. and see all those attorney billboards. There are plenty of attorneys out there who are happy to file a case for a caregiver.
And they have all that boilerplate ready to go and just put in some names and addresses and file it.
Yeah.
So we're at the end of this segment. We have one more segment to go and still a few more questions for you. So, Drew, if you'll hang on, we'll come back to you. I'm here with Drew Davis of Davis In-Home Care. I'm Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors, and we're having a lot of rich information here. So hang on. We'll be right back.
If you're 62 or older, you can access the equity in your home without a mortgage payment. An FHA reverse mortgage is risk-free because it is fully insured by HUD. So, if you need money for living or medical expenses, emergencies, home improvement, or even travel, consider an FHA reverse mortgage. It even comes with a line of credit that gives you interest on the portion you don't use. Call Carl Walsh now to see what your options are to put cash back in your pocket. Call 310-612-0124. That's 310-612-0124.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A proprietary reverse mortgage is for those of us who are 55 and older who have equity in our homes that we would like to use now rather than later. Need cash? Instead of getting a higher interest rate by refinancing your current mortgage, find out how a proprietary reverse mortgage can act as your separate line of credit with no payments. That's right, no payments. And you can even get a lump sum of money up to $4 million depending on your home's equity. To find out more, call Carl now at 310-612-0124. 310-612-0124.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,001. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everybody. It's Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors, with a gripping discussion on in-home care with Drew Davis, the founder and president of Davis In-Home Care in Redondo Beach and the Los Angeles area. So, Drew, if you want to use an agency, what questions should you ask? I know, because this is going to be a brand new subject, so people, how do you intelligently approach this?
Right, so that is a great question. I'll start right there. The first question I would ask them is, if all of their caregivers are W-2 employees,
Mm-hmm.
And there are agencies that I've heard of where they have some who are and some who aren't. And they have two price ranges, and you can imagine that the ones who aren't are cheaper. But I, you know, based for all the reasons I've just talked about, the liabilities that people assume if they hire a caregiver privately, I would want to hire an agency. So that's the first question that I ask them. Are all your caregivers W-2 employees? If you're in the state of California, you should be licensed. So the second question I would ask is, can I see your state license and your license number? And if they say yes to all of that, then I would ask to see their certificate of insurance. Because, of course, the license will prove that they are licensed, and the certificate of insurance will prove that they have liability and workers' comp insurance for their employees, which is what you want, so that the agency is accepting those liabilities instead of you.
Is there, so, okay, you get these numbers. Because imagine you're going through a home remodel and you have a contractor who gives you his contracting number. So it doesn't stop there. I know if a prudent homeowner was going to get a remodel or a serious construction would call the state of California and verify that, you know, he's in good standing and so forth. Are there agencies and that the license is actually active? Are there ways to do that in the home care agency business?
You know, I think you would look up the California Department of Social Services and then look up the Home Care Services Division. And I actually have never done this, but that's a good question. I think you would go to the CDSS or California Department of Social Services and then go to the Home Care Services Division and look for the license.
And that's interesting. You mentioned that some agencies, so you hire an agency and they're 1099 employees or 1099 subcontractors or contractors, and that's a big no-no in your opinion, right? Because we're back to the regulations of California.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you want to avoid that. You know, I can think of all, and the reason I brought up housekeeping is because of, you know, I've known people who have full-time housekeeper and, you know, the well-to-do. And I always wonder privately, do you have that person on W-2? And because I know the boom can come down, I've heard of those lawsuits too. I don't know. They don't usually end up at those enormous numbers you mentioned, but they certainly start off that way.
Yeah.
And they're stipulated before they usually go to trial, like to write a check to avoid, you know, a long litigation. It can be very expensive. Lawyers can keep these going. The legal profession is an odd group because you're paying them. Well, I guess in that case, they're going to get a percentage of the deal. But oftentimes you hire a lawyer. If they actually do their job, they stop getting paid. So that seems like a strange profession to hire, like in a divorce. I cover gray divorces in reverse mortgages too, where, wait a minute, you're hiring an attorney. If it's an amicable divorce, then they stop getting paid, lawyers. So nothing against lawyers out there, you people. But so those are good points you brought out about if you want to use an agency, what questions you should ask. You know, at the very start of it, and I've asked you this, it's a question I have in mind. I mean, so there you were. You went through this yourself 14 years ago or 15, whenever it was, with your stepfather. And then you decided to get into the field. What were you doing prior to that? And what really motivated you? I'm sure you, 'cause there's a variety of things.
Well, I had a company in the automotive industry. And my company produced sales training for car companies. Toyota was my biggest client. I also did work for Honda and Scion. In the recession of 2009, that business took a real hit. So I was looking around for another business, and because I had spent several years helping my mother care for my stepfather, I looked into the home care business. And you know, like you said at the very beginning of the program, we tried every option out there during the years we were caring for my stepfather, because I mentioned the dementia. He also had some physical problems which affected his care. But the one that they tried the first turned out to be the one that I really made an impression on me, and that was the in-home care. And, you know, this stuff we do can seem so mundane or even trivial if you can do it yourself. We all get up and take a shower every morning and go to the bathroom and fix breakfast. But if you can't do those things, they become a real problem, and they really are essential and important services. So I find it personally rewarding to be able to help people with these things. I saw in my own family what a difference it could make, and I'm happy to do that for other people.
And, you know, it startled me in our conversation, too, about dehydration you mentioned. That's not something you know, you're monitoring mom or dad for. You want to make sure they're comfortable, they're getting up, they maybe take a walk or, you know, whatever home care you're giving them, let's say if you're doing it as a family member. But the dehy, who thinks of making sure they drink enough water? I mean, that's the thing why you need to hire a professional that has that on a checklist.
Well, and if you want to combat dehydration, the food you eat also make a difference.
Mm.
So water is one source of hydration, but fruit is also a good one. So your whole diet can be affected by this if you're really working on it.
And, you know, you just struck me in your last response about, I was going to ask you what you like about the business, but it's very fulfilling because you see people being taken care of in the proper way. And that must really add a great, you know, love for the business for you too.
Well, it does, and I felt I learned a lot during the years. I helped my mom care for my stepfather, and then sadly, after he passed away, she got dementia. So I helped her for another 7 years after that. So I have over a dozen years of caring for family members, and I felt like I had learned a lot during the course of that, and I thought if I can share some of that to help other people in a similar situation, I would like to do that.
We have less than 60 seconds. Were there any surprises along the way, that good, bad, or indifferent?
Yes. The biggest surprise was how little help it takes to help people who have moderate impairment. And the best example of this is a woman we started. A lawyer called me in on this case. She had a client who had mild cognitive impairment and could no longer drive.
Mm.
When we started out with her, we were doing three afternoons a week. We had this woman as a client for 5 years, and by the end of the time, she had full-time live-in care. But what I was proud of, that we were able to keep that woman in her home for 5 more years because of the help that we gave her.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's so great. I love to hear that. So if someone wants to get in touch with you, Drew, how do they do that?
So, again, the company is Davis In-Home Care. We are in Redondo Beach, California. The office phone number is 310-297-9127. And the website is simply davisinhomecare, all one word, .com.
Now that's easy. Easy peasy. Okay, well, thank you, Drew, for taking your time out of here. I know you're a busy man. And, gosh, what a lot of rich information. We're so thankful you joined us here today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Happy to do it.
Yeah, that's great. So Carl Walsh here for Saving Seniors, and we had Drew Davis here, president of Davis In-Home Care. And have a great rest of the month. This is, again, Carl Walsh. We'll see you next time.